Morning. Today's Daf and Erevin is Daf Gimel. We are on the very bottom of Beis Amud Beis. We are continuing our discussion from yesterday. Yesterday we introduced ourselves to Masechta Erevin, specifically that of the concept of Mavui. When a collective group has a Mavui, so one cannot carry within the Mavui. The Mavui, as we defined yesterday, is basically an alleyway, a closed alleyway, which is closed in by three walls, opens up into a Rishus HaRabim. And Min HaTorah, the Mavui is a Rishus HaYachid. I'm presenting it like we saw Rashi yesterday. And so as a result of that, Min HaTorah, one would be allowed to carry within the Mavui. Carrying from a Mavui to a Chatzir presents its own set of problems because you're carrying from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid that are not owned by the same group of people, but that is something which we're going to be discussing at a later point in time. In the meantime, however, regarding the Mavui, we're just simply talking about the Tikkun HaMavui, exactly what needs to be done in order to correct, in order to remedy the Mavui, so that one is allowed to carry within the Mavui itself. And that means to say that the Mavui is opened up into Rishus HaRabim, as we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. So in order to carry within the Mavui, so a fourth partition has to be made. This fourth wall does not necessarily a wall. And as we learned yesterday, and we're going to see again today, might not even have the status of a wall altogether. It just simply may serve as a hecker, but that's something that's coming up in just a little bit from now. But in the meantime, however, in order to be able to carry in the Mavui, so you need either a lechi or a korah. A lechi is a vertical pole put at the end, at the entrance of the Mavui. And we'll discuss exactly more about the dimensions of the lechi later in this parak. Or the other possibility is a korah, and that is to put a horizontal beam, going across the entrance of the Mavui. And our Mishnah opened up with what is the maximum height that the korah can be put on above the entrance. It's an unusual place to start the perek, and Tosfos points this out. The first Tosfos on the perek pointed out first of all, introduce us to lechi, introduce us to korah. I mean, you could have introduced us to the basic ideas, and then we could be talking about limitations in terms of how high the korah has to be. But Tosfos says, okay, it's true. First of all, Tosfos doesn't say this, but we've already observed numerous times that just simply how the Torah Shabbat Peh operates, in which the Torah Shabbat Peh expects us to know a certain amount of information going in. You have to know in order to know. You have to learn in order to learn. Okay, that's just simply the dynamics of how Torah Shabbat Peh works. But Tosfos also points out yesterday that the language of the Mishnah is parallel to the language in the beginning of the first Mishnah of Sukkah. And so therefore, because we have that similar type of language, that parallelism that exists between our Masechta and that of Sukkah, so that's why our Mishnah opens up with Mavui Shi Gavola Mala Me Esrim Amma, which is almost identical to the first Mishnah of Masechta Sukkah. And as we learned yesterday, it gave us a chance to compare and contrast the Mishnah in Sukkah, the Mishnah in Erevin. The Mishnah in Sukkah uses the words psula. The Mishnah in Erevin uses the words yima, which is a takanta, which is a way to rectify. And we already went through that yesterday, why exactly the conclusion of the Mishnah, which is effectively the same, but in terms of the attitude, it's a little bit different than the Sukkah, than in Erevin. So we went over that yesterday. In terms of the actual dimension, so we learned that it's machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. How high can your korah be? According to the Tanakhama, it cannot exceed 20 amas, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it can exceed 20 amas. It can be higher than 20 amas. What is the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara yesterday went through a bit of an evolution within the Shita of Rav. Rav is of the opinion that the positions are borne out by what is considered a Pesach vis-a-vis the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. So we go back to the design, the layout of the Beis HaMikdash. We did this yesterday, and we noted that there are basically two entrances that get you into the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, we're not going to go through it again right now because that goes all the way back to Masechet Midos in terms of the actual construction of the Beis HaMikdash. But suffice for us to know that basically as you're walking into the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash, so there are going to be two entrances that you're going to go through. There's one called the Ulam and the other one, which is the actual Pesach HaHechal, the entrance to the actual Hechal itself. The Ulam, the antechamber, the foyer, so that had a dimension of 20 amos in width and 40 amos high, as opposed to the entrance to the Hechal, which is 10 amas in width and 20 amas in height. And so what Rab proposed yesterday, that the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, is just simply a question of which entrance are we talking about? Which entrance is going to qualify and define for us what is a Pesach? Is it the Pesach Ulam? Is it the Pesach Hechal? And the Gemara said that perhaps the predicate of this debate is a question of when you're walking into the Hechal. So is the Ulam and the Hechal two separate entities? Or is the Ulam and the Hechal one entity? And so therefore, when you are going into the first entrance, into the Ulam entrance, so is this in fact going to be considered as if I'm going into the Heichal itself proper? So again, all this was tossed around yesterday as a possible suggestion, as a possible source. Well, the Gemara concluded that as far as the sheet of Rav Yehuda is concerned, it has nothing to do with the Heichal. It has nothing to do with the entrance of the Ulam. It just happens to be that Rav Yehuda's Shita is that, look, if you look at the entrances of these big palatial estates, you're going to find that the height of the doorway, the width of the doorway, can sometimes far exceed 20 amos. Let's right now just deal with the height. The height far exceeds 20 amos. You go into these big mansions and these big palaces, and so you can have big doorways, and that's so. The same thing is true regarding a Mavui. So let's say I'm putting the Korah on the top and it's higher than 20 amos, but so what? Meaning that is true in general when making any kind of big entrance. It's going to be higher than 20 amos. So that is the sheet of Rav Yehuda, but as we left off our daf yesterday, Rav still said that according to the Tanakhama, his prototype of what is considered a Pesach is going to be the entrance to the Chatzer, where it is 20 amos high and 10 amos wide, and that's going to be his prototype. And the Gemara now is going to spend the first part of today's daf trying to ascertain as to whether or not even this position can hold. Now, the reason why he held this position is because of a braisa that we saw yesterday on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf. So we saw a braisa, it's a little bit more than halfway down in the Amud, and the braisa reads, Mavui shu gavo mechaf ama yoser mipischo shal heichal yimat. So if the Mavui, and again, the word Mavui over here is a reference to the Korah. If the Korah is higher than 20 amos and it's greater than the entrance of the Heichal, so then you have to lower it. And so, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, here was Rav's thinking. The thought process of Rav is that since the Breisa clearly is comparing it to the entrance of the Heichal, so certainly that explains that according to the Tanakhama, that serves as his model. And what must be therefore is that Rav Yehuda also is looking at the same structure. And the Gemara noted yesterday, not necessarily. It could very well be that this is only to explain the sheet of the Chachamim, but not the sheet of Rav Yehuda. All this is by way of review of what we saw in yesterday's daf, and now we're going to continue in the Gemara on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, where the Gemara now is going to ask, if, in fact, the source of a Pesach is going to be based on what exists in the Heichal, so the Gemara says, if that's true, let's consider the following. As we are now on the very bottom of Beis Amud Beis. Elamiata, last two words. So as we now turn to the top of the of Gimel Medalev, Elamiata lo tehanle amaltera. So the Gemara says, if this is in fact so, that the entire source of a entrance is going to be the entrance of the Heichal, so then what if we have an amaltera? So first of all, what is an amaltera? So Rashi over here on the top of the Amud. Goes on to explain, well, actually, we're going to see the Mishnah Midos in just a moment, but basically what it was is some sort of decorative piece that existed above the entrance of the Heichal. When you walked into the Heichal, and in a moment we're going to see it's true by the Ulam as well. So when you walked into them, so what you're going to see on the top of the entrance, meaning the entrance of the Heichal, 20 amas above ground. Top of the Ulam, 40 amas above ground. Now, even as you are looking at the top of the Heichal, so you're going to be seeing some sort of decorative pieces. We're going to be describing it as basically five cedar planks that are placed one on top of the other, and the way it seems to be designed is that the first plank that's just above the lintel of the entrance is going to be wider than the actual entrance, and the next piece is going to be wider than that, and the next piece is going to be wider than that, and so basically what you have, what you're looking at is almost like an upside down pyramid shape. And but whatever the case is, it's a decorative piece that existed above the entrance, and this is what is described as an amaltera. Now, the amaltera is eye-catching, meaning the whole purpose of it is that it stands there as a piece of prominence. People are going to look at it, and so really what it does is it captures the eye. Now, the Gemara here is formulating its question, and we are looking now on the top as the Gemara formulates its question. Now, we know the Heichal had one. Now, the Gemara over here says, now we know that the entrance of the Heichal is 20 amas. Now, the Gemara is going to just simply put all the information together, and then we're going to formulate the question. So first of all, the Mishnah Midos did not chamesha maltera shul shel mila hayu al gavav zula malamizu, vizula malamizu. So what I tried to describe here, the Mishnah Midos is describing now, that there basically are five planks, one on top of the other. They're cedar planks. The word mila, says Rashi, is a type of wood. Rashi describes it as a fatsim. as some sort of gallnut wood. Whatever the case is, you have this decorative piece. Now the Gemara continues to put information together in order to make a question. The Gemara says, well, first of all, I'm not sure if you got all the information straight. Maybe the Amatara only existed on the entrance of the foyer, on the entrance of the Ulam. Maybe it didn't exist by the entrance of the Heichal. So the Gemara says, that's not true. Of a high Maikusha. Dilma Tavnis Heichal Kitavnis Ulam. Now, you're right. The Mishnah in Midos was describing the entrance of the Ulam, but the Gemara says, but just like the entrance of the Ulam had this Amatara, so too the entrance of the Heichal also had an Amatara as well. Now, yes, it's a little bit strange that the Gemara is formulating a question, putting the question together based on a little bit of speculation, meaning the Gemara says, well, maybe it was this way. Well, maybe if it was this way, so maybe it wasn't this way. And so how could you be formulating a question based on what seems to be speculation? But even though the Gemara uses the word Dilma, it seems pretty clear from the Gemara that this is more than just a suggestion. This is something that the Gemara knew, that there was an Amaltar on the entrance of the Ulam, as there was also on the entrance of the Hecha. Alama Amar Rebbe, Rebbe Eli, Amar Rav. Now, we're not done yet. We need more information in order to put the question together. And that is a statement made by Rav. Now, that's critical over here, because remember, all this is within the Shita of Rav, as he understands what entrances are based on. And we have a statement made by Rav, and that is Rach Vadal, Rav Api Sheino Bria. So these are really two separate statements, as Rashi explains over here. The first statement we're going to be spending more time on later in the parak. I'll just mention quickly now that if the width of the kor that goes across is four amos in width, so it doesn't have to be strong, it doesn't have to be sturdy, it doesn't have to be supportive of anything. Later in this parak, we're going to learn together that the kor has to be one tefach wide, but it also has to be of a certain strength. And what Rav is telling us as his first halacha is that if it's four amos wide, by the way, I said ama, I meant tefach, meaning that the width only has to be one tefach wide. And if it's four tefachim wide, so then it doesn't have to be strong. We're going to come back to that later on. In the meantime, statement number two, which is what is relevant to our discussion. V'im yesh la amaltara. Now let's say the entrance. Now we're not talking about the entrance of the Heichal. We're talking about the entrance of the Mavui. If it has an amaltara, this display, this artistic display that exists on the top of the entrance. So afilu gavo yosem esri ma'ama inu tzarich lamayit. So that means to say that even here, not even, but in this scenario, because there is something that is drawing the eye and drawing everyone's attention to the top, so here it could be above 20 amos, and that would be fine. The kor can exist above 20 amos because you have this amaltara, which is capturing everyone's attention. And so, now we have enough information to put together a question, and that is the following. We know that Rav is lenient when it comes to a mavui that has an amaltara on top of it, and therefore it can exceed over 20 amos. And meanwhile, if the entire premise of a mavui is predicated on the entrance of the Heichal, and we know the Heichal is no more than 20 amos, and we know it has an amaltara, so therefore the entire heter of amaltara should fall away, because now we see that the Heichal does have the amaltara, and still it's capped at 20 amos. And that means to say now that that should be true across the board, that even if I have an amaltara, it should be capped at 20 amos. And so what we have now is finally and formally a question within the Shita of Rav. I'm Rav Yosef, amaltara masni sahi. So Rav Yosef says, look, the amaltara, it's a brisa, meaning I know you said it was said over in the name of Rav. It's a brisa. So man ketanela, amar abaye, v'achama berei derava bar avua ketanela. So Abaye says that the Braisa is brought to us through Chama, the son of Rabba Bar Avua. So basically, the Gemara now says it's a Braisa, not necessarily Rav. So the Gemara says, V'tehave amaltara amastisa. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but how did that help us? Meaning, good, now it's a Braisa. Good, but it's still a Braisa. V'tikshila Rav. And now that the Braisa says that if I have an amaltara, it can now go above 20 amos. So the Gemara says, now that we have that, now the question is against Rav from a Braisa. Many times the Gemara says that Rav Tano Palagu, that Rav has the status of being a Tana, and Rav can argue on other Tanaim, and that's true, but nevertheless, if we can avoid that, so the Gemara will avoid that. Over here we have a Braisa that says that with an Amaltara it can be above 20 Amos, and now this is difficult against Rav, and so the Gemara says, so even if it's not Rav who said it, but it's still a Braisa said it, so Amalacha Rav Dal Anamehacha. So Rav says, okay, look, why don't we just take myself out of the equation over here? Masnisan mi lokashin ahadade. So Rav says, look, now we have conflicting braises. We have a braise from yesterday's daf, and we have a braisa that we just learned together. Now, the braisa from yesterday's daf says, what is the source of the entrance of a mavui? It is from Pischo Shel Heichal. It's the entrance of the Heichal. And again, the entrance of the Heichal, we know had an amaltera. We know it's capped at 20 amas, so that's yesterday's braisa. In today's braisa, we say that with an amaltera, so the korah can be above 20 amas, and so I have the braisas now that are in conflict with one another. So when you look at these two braisas, the only conclusion you're going to arrive at is that the two braisas are cholik on one another. And so I'm just simply going to say, fine, the two braisas are cholik on one another. One braisa is of the position that the source of a Pesach is coming from the Heichal, which means that that braisa will not allow the korah to exceed 20 amas, even with an amaltera. And meanwhile, the second braisa that we saw on this amud is of the position that no, it can actually exceed 20 amas when it has an amaltera, because it is not based on the entrance of the Heichal. This is where we stand right now. Comes out right now that in the Gemara, now that we're saying it's Machlokas Tanayim, it comes out now that Rav is even assuming that he subscribes to the Braisa on this amud and not on yesterday's amud. So now it comes out that Rav is repealing his entire position. Meaning yesterday, in yesterday's daf, he repealed this position regarding Rav Yehuda, where he said that Rav Yehuda is based on the entrance of the Ulam, and on that, he pulled back from that position. No, Rav Yehuda is not learning out from the entrance of the Ulam. And now, in this braisa that we're learning together, even according to the Chachamim, so assuming that Rav subscribes to this braisa, which it sounds like he does, because remember, he made two statements, one having to do with the width of a korah, and the other one having to do with an amaltera, it could be above 20 amos, so assuming that he subscribes to this statement, so now Rav is going back even on his first position, which is that the Tanakhama learns it out from the entrance of the Heichal, and in this braisa we are concluding that he does not learn it out from the entrance of the Heichal. So we are a long distance from where we were in yesterday, where Rav said that both of them are being generated from the entrance of the Heichal and the Ulam, Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda respectively, and now we're saying that no, that neither the Rav Yehuda nor the Tanakhama are generating from the entrance of the Heichal. Now, Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak Amar, continuing in the Gemara, according to Rav Nachman, Yitzchak, below Rav Masisa Adad, Dilo Kasha. Look, if I were to take Rav out of the picture, I would just simply say the two braises are not arguing with one another. L'Rabbanan Kara Taima Mai Mishum Hekera. V'hai Diktani Yesu Mipischo Shehechol Simana Ba'alma. Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak says, it's very simple, that as far as the braises are concerned, they're not learning it out from the entrance of the Heichal. What about yesterday? What about yesterday's Braisa? Yesterday's Braisa, Simana Ba'alma. That's just there to give us a mnemonic, to help us remember, hey, how high does the Korah have to be? Just think about the entrance of the Heichal. The entrance of the Heichal is 20 Amos. That gives us a good simon. It is not the reason why. It's not the Siba. It's not the reason why the Korah cannot be higher than 20 Amos. But it's just a simon. It's just a way to help us remember. Okay. So now what do we have at this point in time? We have that according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the entrance of a Mavui has to have a Korah that cannot exceed 20 Amos, and why? So if that question was asked for yesterday's daf, and up until this point in the Gemara, the answer would be, what do you mean why? That's the entrance of the Heichal, and the model of a Pesach, and the prototype of a Pesach just simply is coming from the entrance of the Heichal. Now what we're saying is that that's not true. That's not the source. That's not the Siba. The reason why is presumably because anything above 20 Amos is just simply no longer captures a person's attention. And so therefore, lo shalta ba'ina, you just simply don't look up that high. 20 Amos off the ground is somewhere in the ballpark of 30 to 40 feet off the ground. Let's even say 30 feet off the ground. 30 feet off the ground, that's three stories high. So if I have a korah that high, it just simply doesn't capture attention. That is the entire reason behind the Chachamim's demand that the korah cannot exceed more than 20 amos high. That's what we're saying right now. The Gemara says, if that's true, which is what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is saying, so then the Gemara says, it's all about Heker. So the Gemara says, if that's true, v'hadik tani, yesu mipischo shehecho simana ba'alma, and that the entire and the entire usage of the entrance of the Heichal is just there to help us remember. So the Gemara says that's good, but, and now we're going to get to the but. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hanicha Ilos Virle HaDeRaba. That's very good. If Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak doesn't hold a Rabba, what Rabba are we talking about? Stay tuned. Eli Is Virle HaDeRaba DeAma Rabba. But if he subscribes to the position of Rabba, and again, which Rabba are we talking about? The one in the beginning of Masechta Sukkah. ksiv that says Laman Yedu Darasechin ki besukos Roshafti. The pasuk says that why do we sit in the sukkah? So that we know Laman Yedu Darasechim, so that future generations know that for the 40 years HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in sukkahs. Now what kind of sukkahs did he put us in? So you remember the Gemara in Sukkah that brings down a machlokes Satanaim. Are we talking about sukkahs mamash? Are we talking about the Anane Hakavo that was in the midbar? Whichever one it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that we were safe for the 40 years that we were in the midbar. And the pasuk says, and that's why we have a mitzvah of sukkah leman yedu, so that we know. Happens to be, by the way, that when you're sitting in the sukkah the first night, so the halach is you're supposed to have both in mind. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us sukkahs mamash, he gave us also an anei hakavod. Anyway, but on top of all that, according to Rabbah, the pasuk is to be understood on a different level as well. Ad esrim ama adam yodeshu shadar besukkah lamalam esrim ama ina adam yodeh ina adam yodeh mishum delo shalta ba'ina. Rabbah says that this pasuk is also teaching us what is the maximum height of the schach. The schach cannot go above 20 amos. Why? Because above 20 amos, lo shalta be'ena, a person simply is not noticing the schach. It's just simply too high up off the ground. This is one of the three different reasons why it is that the schach cannot exceed 20 amos. The Gemara there, the first sugya in the Gemara in Sukkah, talks about the schach not being able to go above 20 amos. And the Amoraim give three different reasons why, and this is Rabbah's explanation, because lo shalta be'ine. And now, ama gabi sukkah nami beheker epligi. So, comes out now that the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, as understood by Rabbah, is that what they're arguing about is heker, whether or not a person can recognize, can notice something that high. So, iflu betarti lamali. And so, now, finally, the Gemara says, so, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, so here's the problem. The problem is redundancy. We have a Mishnah in Erevin, Machlokus between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. How high can the Korah be? According to the Tanakam, not more than 20 Ambas. According to Rav Yehuda, above 20 Ambas. What's the issue? So the way Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak explains it, the issue is Hekera. Now we have a Mishnah in Sukkah. How high can the Schach be? According to the Tanakam, not more than 20 Ambas. According to Rav Yehuda, more than 20 Ambas. What's the issue? The issue is Hekera. And now what comes out is we have a redundancy. We have a Machlokus between Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, both about Korah and about Sukkah. And what is it based on? The same principle. And so it's an issue of redundancy. And so that's the problem. The Gemara says it's not a problem. Sricha, they're both necessary. The iyash meaning gabi sukkah b'hakama Rav Yehuda kevin de lishiva avid de shalta be'ene avamavu de lehiluch avid ema mo de leh l'rabbanan. So first of all, as far as the sheet of Rav Yehuda is concerned, it's not a redundancy because consider. Look at the function of the sukkah. Look at the function of the mavui. Sukkah, what do people do when they go into the sukkah? They sit down. And so now that you're sitting down, so it gives you an opportunity to settle and to look up and to see the schach, and therefore it could be above 40 amas. Sorry. It could be above 20 amas. However, when it comes to the mavui, you're not sitting in the mavui. The mavui is a means of transportation. Everybody is moving. You're going from the mavui to the Rishu Sarabim. You're going from the Rishu Sarabim back to the mavui. And so people are in constant motion. And I could have made the argument that according to Rav Yehuda, the korah cannot go above 20 amos because no one's sitting over there. Everyone's in motion. And so therefore, it's not as easily recognizable. And we're just simply going to go in the other direction as well. If all I had was just simply the machlokas regarding the mavui and people are in motion, so there the chachamim would say it can't go above 20 amos. Everyone's walking. No one's going to notice it if it's above 20 amos. But when it comes to the sukkah, maybe the chachamim would agree to Rav Yehuda, and so therefore we don't have redundancy. Both are principled on the issue of hekera, but because sukkah is li yeshiva and mavui is lehiluch, so therefore functionally they're different. Therefore each one represents a chiddush for Rav Yehuda and the chachamim respectively. My Amaltara. Now we're talking about this artistic design that exists above the entrance. And with it, you can now have the korah going above 20 amos. That is the halacha of Rav, one of the two halachas of Rav that we saw on the top of the Amud. And the Gemara now wants to know, what is this Amaltara going to be actually? Meaning, what exactly is this artistic depiction that is put above the entrance? So Rav Chama Burei de Rav Barvu Amar Kine. So he says that basically what they look like bird nests. Not really sure artistically what I'm talking about right now, but that's what the Gemara is describing. And Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Amre b'Marav and Eretz Yisrael, they would say Paske de Arza, it would just be cedar beams. Now Manda Amar Paske de Arza Kol Shekein Kine. Now, which one is going to draw more attention? If we're just talking about cedar beams that are running across horizontally, so, okay, that certainly is outstanding, and so people are going to notice it, but certainly if you're drawing pictures of bird nests, so that is going to capture even more attention. So if you're saying the Amaltura could be something as simple a design as a cedar beam, certainly if you're drawing pictures of bird nests, so that's going to capture everyone's attention. However, Mandar Makini of a Pisca Darza, low. But if you say that the artistic design has to be something more outstanding, like pictures of bird nests, so then you're not necessarily going to agree that if all I have is just horizontal cedar beams going across, that that's going to be something that's going to be eye-catching. Uman Damar Pasca Darza, my time and Mishum Denafish Mashre. So the Gemara says now, as far as the horizontal cedar beams are concerned, so why is it eye-catching? Because it's very long, it goes all the way across. The Gemara says, Vasuka, denafish mashche, vekamer abanin delo. So the Gemara says, well, if the entire noteworthy nature of the cedar beams is that they go all the way across, consider a sukkah. A sukkah goes all the way across. Generally speaking, the schach goes from one end, from one wall to the other wall. And still the Chachamim said it can't go above 20 amas. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand what is the what's so special about the cedar beams. So the Gemara says the cedar beams are chashev. Cedar wood is something which is significant, and so it's not just that it is of a going across from one end to the other, but it's also predicated on the fact that it is something of significance, and that's why it captures people's attention. With all that stated, we are now finished with our first sugya of the morning, and that is, after a long discussion, the Gemara finally doesn't conclude, but finally at least finishes the discussion regarding what is the source, according to the sheet of the Tanakhama, that the Korah cannot be above 20 amas. Yesterday, in yesterday's daf, and some of today's daf, Rav suggested that it has to do with the model of the entrance of the Heichal, and that's why the Korah cannot go more than 20 amas, because the Heichal itself did not go higher than 20 amas. On the other hand, in today's daf, the Gemara said that perhaps it's based on a different issue, and that is Heker. It just simply is that we need people to notice the Korah. Remember, the whole institution of Korah, we're going to discuss this more later in the parak, is that either it serves as a wall or it serves as a way of heker, a way of letting people know that this is where the Mavui ends, where the Rishus Yachid ends, this is where the Rishus Rabin begins, and so it is a way of letting people know that this is the line of demarcation between one and the other. And so therefore, as a heker, so if it's above 20 amas, people are not going to notice it. Now we understand that if that's true, so then we understand that we discussed over the beginning of today's daf, the idea of Amaltura, that if I have something eye-catching, if something draws people's attention to it, so then it can go above 20 amas. So if I have the Amaltura, so then it in fact can go above 20 amas, and now we understand it's all predicated on Heker. And if it's predicated on Heker, so then why are we having a machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda, both by the Korah of Amavui and also by the Schach of the Sukkah? Isn't that a redundancy? And that's what the Gemara just dealt with. It's not a redundancy. They're both necessary. With all that stated, we are continuing now in the Gemara. We are about two-thirds of the way down as the lines get wide. We are four lines down from there. The Gemara now is going to continue its discussion regarding the Korah and specifically the height dimension of the Korah. Mixas Korah Besoch Esrim, Umixas Korah Lamalam Esrim. Mixas Chach Besoch Esrim, Umixas Chach Lamalam Esrim. So as we just learned now, neither the Korah nor the Schach can exceed above 20 amas. What if, let's say, there's a thickness to the Korah, there's a thickness to the Schach, and now as we take our measuring stick and measure from the floor up to the Korah and the Schach, what we've noticed now is that some of it is within 20 amas and some of it is above 20 amas. What do we say under those circumstances? And so the Gemara is going to give us not one, not two, but four different opinions on the matter. How can there be four different opinions? So the Gemara is going to go through all four. Amar Rava b'mavui kasha b'sukkah pasul. So here, opinion number one is Rava, and that is by mavui that works. It's kasha, and by sukkah it's going to be pasul. Maishna b'mavui d'kasha d'ami kalush. So the Gemara says, well, now, as far as the mavui is concerned, so here's what I'll say. I'll just simply say that the part of the Korah that is above 20 amos, we'll just simply ignore it. And we're not going to literally, physically cut off the top portion, but we're going to just simply look at it as if it's not there. So the Gemara says, Sukkanami, Lehman Kalash. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we do the same thing regarding the Schach? So, E Kalash, Jehavele, Chamta, Maruba, Mitzilta. The Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to the Schach, you can't do that. Because if I were to just simply ignore the portion of the Schach that is above 20 amas, So then what I may actually arrive at is schach that's not kosher because of the rules regarding schach as introduced in the first Mishnah of Sukkah is that you, by schach it has to be thick. There has to be more shade than there is sun. Meaning as the sun now is casting a shadow on the schach, so you must see more shade than sun. And if I'm actually taking off the top part, meaning ignoring it as if it's not there, so even though physically there's more shade than sun, but halachically, that part is simply to be ignored, and all I have now is the lower section, and that lower section is not casting enough shadow. And so therefore, it may not be kasher schach. So the Gemara says, hachinami, kalash yahav lekara, hanitalas beruach. So the Gemara says, okay, but if I say the same thing regarding a korah, that also presents a problem, because when it comes to the korah has to be of a certain strength. We touched on this earlier this morning, and now the Gemara is pointing out that if I knock off half the korah, so it may not have the requisite strength to serve as a korah. So ela al karchach nasa kishpudim shel mateches hachanami al karchach nasa tziltam ruba mechamta. So the Gemara says, okay, so by the korah, so the way we're going to view it as is if it's made out of metal, meaning that yes, it's true that we're taking off the top part, but we also have to acknowledge that it is still physically there, and so therefore it is strong enough that it can hold a brick. We're going to talk about exactly what it has to be able to hold in order for it to be a kasher kara, but because it's there, so we can't ignore it. Same thing with the schach. It's here. We can't ignore it. So the Gemara says, so we have to now try to understand, again, this distinction that Rabbi's making, that if I have the schach and the kara, where some of it is within 20 amos and some of it is above 20 amos. So Rabba was arguing that when it comes to the schach, it's pasul, and when it comes to the korah, it's kasher. What's the difference? So the Gemara now is going to offer two suggestions. Amar Rabba, mi parzakya, sukkah de l'yachid hi, lo mitkar, mavu de l'rabim, mitkar adade. So first of all, when it comes to the sukkah, so a sukkah could be used by one person. I understand there are many times where the sukkah is shared by family members, friends, whatever the case is, but it can be used by one person. And so therefore, when I have a sukkah where part of it is within 20 amos and part of it is not within 20 amos, so therefore, no one's going to be able to remind one another because it's going to be used by one person. There are going to be times where instead of the schach being within 20 amos, it can actually be above 20 amos, and no one's there to remind one another. When it comes to the mavu, however, because it's used by a collective, it's used by a group, so therefore, they're there to remind one another in the event that the korah is going a little bit above 20 amos. That's one reason. A second reason, Ravina Amar, Sukkah d'oraisa achmira bei rabbanan, mavui de rabbanan, lo achmira bei rabbanan. It could be just a simple distinction between sukkah being a din d'oraisa as opposed to a mavui, which is a din de rabbanan. So by sukkah, the din d'oraisa, we're more machmir. By mavui, by korah, which is a din de rabbanan, we're more mekel. Rav Ada bar Masna, Masna la'ashmaita de rabba ipcha. Now, that was all opinion number one. Here we have opinion number two, also said over in Rabbah. It's a different version, obviously, and that is Amar Rabbah, but Mavui possible Sukkah Kshera. By Mavui, if I have some of the Korah within 20 Amos, some of the Korah above 20 Amos, so there we have a Machlokas. Sorry. There it's going to be Pasul, but when it comes to the Tzchach, it's going to be Kasher. So, Maishna Sukkah, Dikshera, Darmina Kalosh, but Mavui Nami Lema Kalosh. So we start off the discussion the same way we started in the first version, and that is we just simply ignore the top part that's above 20 amos. So the Gemara says, again, like we said before, I kalashta havilei koran, he tells beruach hachanami, kalashta havilei chamta miruba mitzolta. So the Gemara says, look, if by the korah it's not going to be strong enough, but if by the schach you're not going to have enough shade, so ala karchach nasi tzilta miruba mechamta hachanami, al karchach nasi kishpudim shel mateches. So what we're doing is that even though it's above 20 amos, we can't ignore it. It's there. So the Gemara says, so by korah, it is going to be strong enough where it's going to be able to hold the brick. And by this chach, there is going to be enough shade. So that doesn't explain the difference. What does explain the difference? So Amar Rava mi parzakya sukkah de liyachin hu rami anafshe mitkar mavui de l'rabim hi samche adad velo mitkare. So here now, in explanation of the second version of Rabbah, now we're going to go in the opposite direction, and that is as follows. When I have a sukkah where there's one person responsible for the sukkah, so when one person is responsible for something, it will get done. As opposed to when I have the mavui, where it is a collective group, and when I have a responsibility that's put on a group, nothing is going to happen. I know we've all seen this, experienced this, where when you have a project that is done by a group of people, and there's no one clearly in charge, so nothing's going to happen. Dharma Inchi. The Gemara over here has a great expression. Kedera de Beishutfe. If I have a pot that's owned by two people, by partners, lo chamimi velo kariri, it never gets hot, it never gets cold. Meaning that when I have two people responsible for something, I have now a diffusion of responsibility, and it doesn't get taken care of. And so over here, when I have the mavui, so it's some of it's within 20 amos, some of it's without 20 amos, and now we are just an adjustment away of it being no longer a kasher mavui. But who's going to take care of it? Meaning this is a collective responsibility, and nobody's going to take care of it. As opposed to the schach, where some of it's within 20, some of it's outside of 20 amos. So, and we are just one adjustment away from it becoming possible, but one person's responsible, and he is going to take care of it. That's one way to say the difference between mavui and sukkah. And the Gemara says another way to say it: Ravina Amar Sukkah Daraisa Lo Bayi Chizuk, Mavui Derabanan Bayi Chizuk. And again, over here, we're going to go in the other direction, which is that when it comes to the mavui, which is the Din Derabanan, so the Chachamim need to bolster, to strengthen their Gzeres Derabanan, and so therefore by the mavui, it is in fact going to be, it's going to be possible when some is in 20 and some is out without 20, because the Chachamim Asu Chizuk LeDivrehem. They had to just bolster their position, as opposed to a Din D'Oraisa, where once it's a Din D'Oraisa, it does not need to be bolstered. So this is going to be another way to say the difference. So my Havila, the Gemara says, okay, we need to conclude on this matter. What happens when I have either the Kor of the Schach, where some is within 20 and some is above 20? So Rava Bar Rav Ula Amar Zev is a Pasul. And here we have now a third opinion, which is that they're both Pasul. And Rava Amar Zev is a Kasher. And a fourth opinion, which is that they're both Kasher. So as we pointed out, we have a lot of positions, four opinions regarding what happens when some of the Korah and the Schach is within 20 amos and some of it is above. Either a split decision and two versions of Rabbah, which way we're going to split it, or it's going to be that they're both Kasher, or it's going to be that they're both Pasul. As we are now on the top of the Amud Beis, Chalal Sukkah Tanan, Chalal Mavui Tanan. Now, on the side of Rabbah, that they're both Kasher, the reason why is actually very simple, because when we're talking here about the dimensions, we're talking about the interior. We're talking about 20 amos has to be measured from the floor to the bottom of the schach. So that means to say that the dimension that's given is not including the schach itself. As long as one can measure 20 amos from the floor to the actual schach itself, that is going to be acceptable. And the same thing is true regarding a car as well. That's the Chalal Sukkah, and that's the Chalal Mavui. Amalei Rav Papa Rav Tanya Masei Alech, and we have now a Braisa that supports this position. Mavui Shu Gavoh Me'asrim Ama Yosem Mipitzcho Sheheichol Yimat Veheichal Gufo Chalalu Esrim. So the Gemara says we're going to go back to the Pesach Sheheichal. Now, I know this is confusing because we already spent a good amount of yesterday and today trying to ascertain as to whether or not the Heichal and the entrance of the Heichal is really serving as the base, as the limud, as the source of this halacha. And the Gemara ended up concluding this morning that it's not the source, but it's just Siman HaBa'ama. At least that was according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And now the Gemara goes back to the Pesach Sheheichal and uses it as a way of proving a point. So I know it is confusing whether or not the Pesach of the Heichal is or is not serving as the prototype of what is a Pesach. But anyway, but when it comes to the actual Heichal itself, the measurement comes, the 20 Amun measurement is going on the interior of the frame, from the floor to the top of the lentil. Sorry, to the bottom of the lentil. So Ezra Rav Shimon bar Rav Ashi Rav Papa Ketzad Ayosa Minyach Korah Misfas Esrim Ulamata. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile we have a Braisa, and the Braisa says that what you're going to do is you're going to put the Korah from Sfas Esrim Ulamata. Now that word Ulamata seems to say that the beam itself has to be within 20 amas. So the Gemara says, Emo Ulamala. So the Gemara says, okay, well, maybe what I can understand, or we're going to edit it just a little bit, and that is that it means that the beam itself is just above 20 amas. So the Gemara says, V'halamata ketani la. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not what the Braisa says. The Braisa says, lamata. And now that's a serious amount of editing. So the Gemara says, Hakamash Malan, Dilamata kalamala, Malamala chalala esrim, aflamata chalala esara. So the Gemara says, well, maybe this is what the Braisa meant. The Braisa meant that when it comes to the measuring of a sukkah, so we know that there is a maximum height, and there's also a minimum height. The minimum height is 10 tefachim. Your sukkah cannot be any lower. The schach of the sukkah cannot be any lower than 10 tefachim. It's really hard to imagine a sukkah that small. 10 tefachim is somewhere between 30 to 40 inches. Let's, for argument's sake right now, call it 3 feet. So your schach is 3 feet off the ground. And needless to say, that's going to take crawling to get into such a sukkah. But meanwhile, that is the minimum height of a sukkah of 10 tefachim. Now there, as far as the challah is concerned, so clearly over there, 10 tefachim means that the that the interior airspace from the ground to the where the schach begins has to be 10 tefachim. The 10 tefachim there certainly does not include the schach. So the Gemara says that's all the Braisa meant. That just like by the lower dimensions of a sukkah, when we're measuring the interior, so too when we're talking about the upper limits of a sukkah, so we're measuring the interior as well. That's what the Braisa means, and so therefore what comes out now is that the Braisa is actually supporting the idea that what we're measuring is the halal, we're measuring the interior, and that doesn't include the schach, and that doesn't include the korah. The Gemara's conclusion seems to be, at least in explanation of this last position of Rava, is that when you have a measurement of 20 amos, it is not including the korah, and it's not including the schach, so if I have some of it within and some of it above, it's certainly going to be kosher. Actually, it sounds like from the conclusion that as long as the schach or the korah starts at 20 amos, so then that's going to be kosher as well, which quite frankly is a little bit different than the way the Gemara originally formulated the question. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara, Amar Abaye Mishmei de Rav Nachman. And now from here until the remainder of today's daf, going into tomorrow's daf, the Gemara is going to have a very technical discussion regarding linear measurements, and specifically that of an amma. Now, we know an amma is a measurement, and typically speaking, it is about somewhere in the ballpark of a foot and a half to 2 feet. However, what we're going to be discussing for the remainder of today's daf is going to be a question of how to measure the amma, either using 6 tefachim or 5 tefachim. Now, a tefach itself is a linear measurement that is clear and absolute. It's going to be the size of a fist. Now, obviously, not everyone's fist is the same, so let's just simply say the average fist. And so now, how many of these tefachim are going to make up an amma? So the answer is varies. Sometimes 5 tefachim, sometimes 6 tefachim. Typically, when we talk about an amma, we're talking about 6 tefachim, but that's not always the case. And here, the Gemara is going to have a technical discussion in terms of when measuring these amma length measurements, which of the amma measurements are we going to use? Are we going to be using the 6 tefach measurement or the 5 tefach measurement? And that obviously is going to make a big difference in terms of how many ammas we're talking about. Because if the amma now varies anywhere between 5 to 6, so if you have 20 of them, so 20 times 5 is now 100. 20 times 6 is 120. So obviously, it's going to make a big difference which one of the two we're going to be measuring. And so that is the discussion of the Gemara from here until tomorrow's daf. So we'll start the discussion now. We'll continue tomorrow. So Amar Abaye Mishmei de Rav Nachman, Amas Sukkah, Ba'amas Mavui, Ba'amas Ba'chamisha. So when measuring the amma measurement for the Sukkah, for the Mavui, it's going to be 5 tefach amas. Now, that obviously is going to represent a chumrah, because that means to say that it's going to be a lower height than using amas made up of 6 tefachim. Amas kalayim ba'amas bashisha, now amma. Now, when measuring the amma vis-a-vis kalayim, so there we're going to be using the longer one, and as we're going to see later on, we'll probably start this tomorrow, and that is it's going to be a chumrah. We'll explain that better tomorrow. Anyway, mavui ba'amma bas chamish lamai hilchas alagova ulapirtzus mavui. Now the Gemara says, now as far as the halachas are concerned, regarding a mavui, we're talking about height, we're talking about width. So when it comes to height, so we learned that the height of a mavui, specifically a korah, cannot exceed more than 20 amas. Now we're saying 20 times 5 tefachim. So that's 100 tefachim in total. The ha'ika, and also we're talking about the width as well, the pirsa. Meaning, as we learned in the first Mishnah, in yesterday's daf, that if you are having a gap in the doorway from end to end of anything greater than 10 amos, so then that is no longer a Pesach, that's considered a pirtza, and therefore it's not going to be good. Rashi's language over here, if I could just highlight a Rashi over here. Pirtza's mavui, Rashi says, Dekai Malan by Pirka, we've established, Pirtza's mavui biyud amos pasal, that if the pirtza is 10 amos, so then it's going to be pasal. So you can see Rabbi Kiva Eger here in his Gilin Asha says that the language of Rashi seems to be a little bit imprecise, meaning because if it's 10 amos, that actually is perfect, that would be good. If it exceeds 10 amas, it's not going to be good. So just to point out the language of Rashi, it's a little bit difficult. But anyway, we go back to the Gemara, V'ha'ika meshach mavui ba'arba amas delakula. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, there is a linear measurement as it relates to the mavui, where there, it's actually going to be lenient using the shorter amas. And that is specifically, we're talking here about the depth of a mavui. How deep does a mavui have to be from its entrance all the way to the back wall of the mavui? And we're going to see over the course of this parak that this is subject to a debate, And as far as what the ramifications are, so we'll discuss that briefly now, but we're going to discuss it in much greater detail later on. So there is what's called, the Gemara describes as meshech mavoi. That's the depth of the mavoi. Ba'ar ba'amos, delakula. So it's four amos. Now those four amos are going to be from the entrance of the mavoi to the back wall of the mavoi. And once the mavoi now is going to be four amos deep, so now it qualifies as a mavoi. What's the kula? The kula is that the rectification is a minor adjustment of either lechi or korah. Right? We've already discussed this, but it's clear that lechi or korah are just minor adjustments. Either putting a vertical beam on the entrance or putting some sort of horizontal beam going across. So those are minor adjustments, and the only way that the minor adjustments work is that if it has the status of being a mavoi. If it does not have the status of being a mavoi, so then you have to make a much stronger adjustment. We're going to talk about that later in the perek. In the meantime, however, when is it going to qualify for this minor adjustment? So all I need is for it to be four amas deep. Now, if we're measuring the amas over here using the smaller measurements, this is now serving as a kula. It's a leniency. So the Gemara says, "Kamanda amar bar betvachim." So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here, in terms of the depth, maybe we are going to subscribe to the other opinion, which is not four amas, but rather four tefachim. So that's one possibility. So if we're using a tefach measurement of four tefachim, so then it simply doesn't get into the discussion of amma. Or ibay sema ba'arba amas v'rova amas kamar. So the Gemara says, or maybe not. Maybe we are subscribing to the opinion of dalet amas in terms of the depth of a mavui. And when we're saying that we're using the linear measurement of five tefach amma, we're talking about for most of the amas of the mavui, meaning the height and the width. But in terms of the depth, maybe there we wouldn't, and we're just simply here using rov. So amma sukkah ba'amma bas chamish lamai hilchus. And now we're going to turn to sukkah. And when measuring the amma measurement of a sukkah, so it's going to be five tefachim, which again is going to be serving as a chumrah. So that means that now the height of the sukkah, the height of the schach, cannot exceed 20 amas. Each one of the amas is going to be five tefachim. That's a total of 100 tefachim, as opposed to 120 tefachim if I would have used the larger amma. So the Gemara says, L'gova l'dofen akuma. So in terms of the height and in terms of the halach of dofen akuma, we discussed extensively back in Sukkah, the idea of dofen akuma is that if, let's say, I have a wall, and that wall now makes a 90-degree turn, and it's not schach, it's still wall, meaning the material that's used is pasul for schach. So the halach allows me to say that elbow, that perpendicular, is still going to be considered part and parcel of the wall. Up until what point in time? Four amos. So that means to say that on the 90-degree turn, and as the wall now goes out to meet the schach, as long as it's less than four amos, we can view that as part and parcel of the wall. This is what's called dofen akuma, bent walls. In terms of the lumdus of dofen akuma, you can see Rashi over here. I'm not going to go through it right now, but Rashi over here has a way he formulates in terms of how dofen akuma works. Okay, anyway, not for now. But the point is that dofen akuma also, we're measuring using the shorter measuring amas. And again, that's going to be a chumrah. That means to say that if I'm using the shorter one, so that means four amas, four times five tefachim, so that's only 20 tefachim where it goes out. Can I view it as part of the wall? It's considered dofen akuma. Anything greater than 20 tefachim is not going to work, and that's a chumrah. Meaning if I use the larger amma, so obviously that would give me more room to exercise the principle of dofen akuma. So the Gemara says, Va'ika meshach sukkah ba'arba amos delakula. So the Gemara says, yeah, but at the same time, however, when we're talking about the minimum area of a sukkah, so there is an opinion that it is four amos. Now, four amos would be a kula. So the Gemara says, the Ditanya, Rebbe and Omer Ani, call sukkah she'im ba'dal amos, adal amos psula. So any sukkah that's not 4x4 is going to be pasul. And so that means to say now that it has to have a minimum area of 4x4 amos. And if the amos that we're discussing over here are going to be are going to be the smaller amma, so that now serves as a kula. And the entire premise over here is that we're using it as a chumra, not as a kula. So the Gemara says, Karabban and Dami, Afilo ina machzeka el arosha rubo vishulchano. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're going like the shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rebbe, that in order for a sukkah to be a kasher sukkah, it has to be able to hold the small table, tiny table, your head, and the majority of your body, which we learned together in the Gemara Sukkah, is 7x7 tefachim, meaning we're not using an amma measurement in order to measure it. Ibai sema, lo'olam Rebbe, or maybe we are going like Rebbe, v'rov amos kamar. So the Gemara says, and we're talking about rov amos, meaning that we don't mean every single one of the amma measurements. we just simply mean most of the measurements, notably the ones that are going to result in a chumra, not in a kula. Okay, that gets us up to the point of kalayim, and this is where we're going to pause, and tomorrow we're going to pick it up, and we're going to start with the halachas of kalayim. In the meantime, let us simply review and recap our daf today. So in the course of today's daf, and we turn to the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, so the Gemara's discussion is going to revolve around what is the source of a Pesach, of an entrance. The Korah cannot go above 20 Amos. That's the first Mishnah in our Masechta. And why should that be? So at this point in time, the Gemara thinks that it has to do with the entrance of the Heichal not being higher than 20 Amos. So to the entrance of a Mavui cannot be higher than 20 Amos. And so that is yesterday's daf and a good portion of today's daf. However, what's difficult then to ascertain is that that's true, so then we shouldn't have the leniency of a Maltara. A Maltara, when I have some sort of decorative design on the top of the entrance, so then, according to Rabbi, it can go above 20 Amos. And why should that be? The entrance of the Heichal had the decorative design, and yet it was still capped at 20 Amos. So how can that be? So the Gemara noted, after some discussion on this, it's a machlokas tanaim. Some tanaim are of the opinion that it actually, the halach is generated from the entrance of the Heichal, and some tanaim says that it's not generated by the entrance of the Heichal. It's a machlokas tanaim. Rab Nachman Yitzchak in today's daf said, not necessarily, meaning maybe everyone is of the opinion that the Heichal is not there to serve as the prototype. It's just simana ba'ama. It's just simply there to remind us of the number 20, meaning when I'm thinking about what is the maximum height, I'll just remind myself of the entrance of the Heichal, which is 20 Amos, and it's just simana ba'ama, but it's not the Siba, it's not the reason why. Now, as far as Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, what's the reason? Hecker. It's just there to remind people as they look up, as they walk into the Korah, oh yes, this is where the Rishus HaRabim has come to an end, and this is where the Rishus HaYachid is going to begin. Vis-a-vis the halachas of Korah and the halachas of Sukkah, they're actually both going to be predicated on Heker. Again, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's the way to understand Mavu in Korah, and according to Rabba in the Gemara in Sukkah, that's the way to understand Schach. It's all predicated on Heker. Don't we have a redundancy then of the Mishnayos? The Gemara said not necessarily, and the Gemara gave us a reason why both are necessary. Then, the Gemara's discussion, halfway down in Gimel Amud Aleph, went into the discussion of what if, let's say, the Korah, some of it is within 20 Amos and some of it is above 20 Amos. Same question as it relates to Schach. Some of it is within 20 Amos, some of it is above 20 Amos. What do we say under those circumstances? The Gemara brings down a machlokas of Amoraim. Exactly what do we say? And we have two versions of Rabbah, where Rabbah makes a split. Either it's going to be good by Schach and going to be bad by Korah, or possible by Korah, or it's going to be good by Korah and Pasul by Schach, and the Gemara gave arguments why it should be that we're going to make this kind of split decision. Or another Pesach by Rava Bar Rav Huna is that they're both Pasul, or another Pesach offered by Rava is that they're going to be both be Kasher, because when we're talking about the measurement, we're really talking about the Chalal. We're talking about the interior space being 20 Amos, and as we noted, it's a little bit different than where we started off with the question. Now it comes out that as long as the Korah or the Schach starts within 20 Amos, so that would be sufficient, that would be acceptable. The Gemara continued in its discussion regarding the actual measurement of the Amah. When using an Amah to measure the height of the Korah, the width of the entrance of the Mavui, so what kind of Amah are we talking about? The one made up of 6 Tvachim or the one made up of 5 Tvachim? We are right now in the middle of a statement made by Abaye, which is that we're talking about an Amah that is 5 Tvachim. Now, when it comes to Korah, when it comes to Sukkah, for the most part, that's going to serve as a Chumrah. Now, there are a couple of halachas, one halacha regarding Mavui, and one halacha regarding Sukkah, where it's going to be lenient. So the Gemara says one of two possibilities. Either, number one, there are other shitas, both by Mavui and by Sukkah, regarding, by Korah, what is the depth of the Mavui in order to call it a Mavui. And when it comes to a sukkah, what is going to be the minimum area of a sukkah in order for it to be kasher? So there are different opinions. Those other opinions are not predicated on amma. So that's one possibility. Or the other possibility, which is perhaps a little bit easier to say, it is that when we're saying that the amma has to be 5 tfachim, it means most of the things measured with an amma is going to be 5 tfachim, notably the ones that are going to result in a chumra. But the one that is going to result in a kula, not necessarily. That's another way to say it. Where we leave ourselves off with, and where we're going to pick it up tomorrow, is regarding the measurement of an amah vis-a-vis kalayim. And there, He says that it's going to be six, and the reason why is because it's going to serve as a chumrah. That is coming up. We're going to start there in tomorrow's daf.